Parley avec moi, where today we will be discussing Celia Cruz and her vibrant legacy. Celia Cruz, the legendary queen of salsa, played an important role in shaping Caribbean music and its diffusion to the rest of the world. Her music was deeply rooted in Afro-Cuban traditions and now exemplifies how sound functioned as a carrier of history and identity as it moved to different continents. In this podcast, we will analyze her career and the way it transformed the world's view of Cuban music. We will explore how Celia Cruz's music exemplifies the concepts of schizophrenia and listening, particularly through the lens of Jean-Luc Nancy's concept of listening. Finally, we will see examples of how her work bridges cultural boundaries and contributes to the broader discussion of Caribbean sound and music through two songs. Let's start with the basics. Celia Cruz was born in Havana, Cuba, in 1925, right around the time when the nation of Cuba was struggling over its own identity. After independence from the Spanish Empire, Cuba had only a breath of relief from then and 1902, when the country experienced several disturbances such as changing governments, U.S. military occupations, and natural disasters. In 1925, the U.S. Senate had finally ratified the Hay-Quesada Treaty, affirming Cuban sovereignty on the Isle de Juventud and other minor archipelagos, which remarked a major addition to the Cuban national identity. Though this era ended in 1959, with the Cuban Revolution, the United States had great influence still on Cuban politics and popular media. However, even in this tumultuous time, Cuban traditions and original music forms flourished. Celia Cruz's music stems from and represents a confluence of Afro-Cuban rhythms, including son, rumba, and guaracha, which she adapted to fit newer musical trends of her time. In Havana, Cruz's early exposure to these traditional forms shaped her artistry later on in her music career. And with her migration to the United States following the Cuban Revolution in 1959, her career and her music changed with her and became widely popular through American avenues. Her adaptation to changing times in her life shows how sound travels with us and therefore also crosses geographical and political barriers that we cross. That brings us to the key concept that we'll explore today. The concept of schizophrenia refers to sound that is split from its source through the invention of recording technology. In Cruz's case, the new concept of recorded music introduced to her in the United States allowed her voice and Afro-Cuban rhythms to travel beyond their origins from Cuba. The separation of the source of sound and the sound itself took place because of radio broadcasts, vinyl records, and later digital formats, which then allowed listeners to experience her music without physically being at her performances. This is different from how Celia Cruz originally experienced music forms in her early life, where the source of the sound and music was her own physical community around her. While she physically left Cuba, her sound preserved Cuban musical traditions and reached global audience who may have else had no other contact with Cuban music origins. In recordings like the ones mentioned in the Cat Tapes by Larry Katz, Cruz's voice acts as a bridge between displaced Cuban communities and the mainland. The technological shifts that allowed more people to listen to her music also transformed the perception of Cuban music, ensuring its influence despite political barriers of the time. Let's add another layer to this. Jean-Luc Nancy's concept of listening offers another framework to understand how her music helped with cultural preservation. In his work, Nancy suggests that listening isn't a passive act, but more active and adds to our overall memory, emotion, and resonance. Cruz's music does not only exemplify Cuban heritage for the rest of the world, but also evokes emotions related to the music in Cuban, American, and global communities. Her performances will fill with many call and response structure and polyrhythmic elements, which engage the audience in immersive experiences that preserved Afro-Cuban traditions, even in these changing times. In a way, these people sang along and became a part of the legacy when they participated in a shared cultural memory. But there are also trade-offs that come with using technology to diffuse sounds to more people. Cruz's music also reflects the transformation of traditional sound through technological innovation. Early Afro-Cuban genres were mostly acoustic and relied on live performances to convey the rhythmic complexity. However, with advancements in recording technology, her music added electric instrumental elements, layered production, and studio effects that changed traditional sounds. These changes not only modernized Cuban music, but also made it more appealing to international audiences. Acousmatic sound took a role in this transformation as recordings took away the visual presence of traditional Cuban music, but still did well to preserve sound. Overall, these adaptations and trade-offs were evolving for traditional Cuban music and had a global impact. Moreover, the production techniques in her recordings changed traditional sounds. Classical Cuban music like the conga, timbales, and güiro were often amplified and modified for mass consumption. These technological alterations contributed to the evolution of salsa, making it more appealing to broader audiences while maintaining its Afro-Cuban roots. This recontexting of sound conveys the dual nature of schizophonia, both a loss of authenticity and a method of cultural diffusion like a sort of trade-off. Our first song that we will be analyzing is Cao Cao Mani Picao, recorded in 1972 by Celia Cruz and featuring Tito Puento. This is a fun street-style chant song that tells the story of a peanut vendor whose spicy peanuts are too hot for the average person. It's full of double entendres and rhythmic call and response, rooted in Cuban street life and Afro-Cuban expressions. The lyrics of the song also read like into a vendor's chant to sell peanuts. The song depicting the picture and sound of a Havana marketplace also immerses the listener into the space in their imagination. The repetition of uh-huh mirrors the call and response tradition, which is a staple of Afro-Cuban music. It invites the listener in like a rhythmic shared nod between neighbors. Another thing I really like about Celia Cruz's music is that even if you don't speak Spanish, the rhythm and repetitive sounds make it accessible and almost childlike, which can feel inviting and friendly. This is another reason why her music became so popular, even in non-Spanish-speaking countries, so fast. Instruments like the congos, bongas, maracas, and timbales dominate the track. These create a danceable rhythm that reflects both African heritage and the local Cuban flair. For foreigners, this can paint Cuban culture as energetic, joyful, and deeply rhythmic. For people who understand Spanish, they recognize Celia's voice as a playful command, which adds humor and charisma to the overall song. Our second song is Mata Seguraya, which was released in 1998 and recorded by Benny More and Celia Cruz. This song references the Seguraya, a sacred tree in Afro-Cuban Santeria religion, believed to be protected by powerful spirits. The lyrics suggest you don't mess with it because it has spiritual powers. These lyrics invoke Afro-Cuban spirituality, specifically Santeria, where plants and nature are seen as vessels of divine power. The Seguraya plant mentioned here isn't just botany, it's sacred. What this signals to foreign audiences is that nature and spirituality are deeply connected in Cuban culture. Cuba is not just a tropical island, it's a spiritual realm where plants have power and people seek permission from orishas, which are Yoruba deities, before taking action. It shows respect for traditions and mysticism, which may feel exotic or unfamiliar to outsiders, but is core to African-Cuban life. There is no separation between the spiritual and everyday here. Celia's voice doesn't just sing, but it also commands. She has a declarative, almost priestly tone. It's not just a performance, it's a spiritual assertion. For a foreign listener, this builds an image of Cuba as a land of resistance, reverence, and rhythm, where music is more than entertainment, it is a medium of respect and power. What this song communicates to foreign listeners is that Cuba is not only a place with palm trees and cigars, it's a place where African diaspora traditions thrive, particularly to Centenaria and sacred nature. Additionally, foreign audiences hear the song, but may not listen deeply to spiritual implications, yet the rhythm stirs something visceral. That emotional reaction is Nancy's listening in action. So let's talk about how two very different songs, Kauka Mani Pikao and Mata Siguaraya, actually come together to give us a fuller, more nuanced image of Cuba, especially for listeners outside of it. Let's start with Kauka Mani Pikao. At first glance, it might seem like a simple jingle about chopped peanuts, but that's the magic. This song captures the street-level charm of Cuban life. It's playful, rhythmic, and full of that call-and-response energy rooted in Afro-Cuban tradition. To foreign cars, it gives a fun, friendly impression of Cuba, like a place full of rhythm, warmth, and movement. But it's more than fun, it's also about oral culture, shared space, and communal joy. Now contrast that with Mata Siguaraya. This one goes deep. It's not just a song, it's a spiritual invocation. The lyrics talk about Siguaraya plant, which is in Centenaria carries divine power. And nothing happens to that plant without the permission of the orishas. Musically, it's rich with ritual-like percussion and that commanding vocal delivery Celia Cruz does so well. For global listeners, Mata Siguaraya reveals a sacred, deep spiritual side of Cuban culture, one that's deeply Afro-diasporic, reverent, and mystical. So when you put these songs side by side, something really beautiful happens. You don't just get one version of Cuba, you get layers. One song shows the joy and movement and the hustle of everyday life. The other reveals the spirit, the reverence, the deep cultural memories embedded in land and sound. Together, Kauka Mani Pikao and Mata Siguaraya remind us that music can be both celebration and ceremony. And when you listen closely, you start to hear the full story. Celia Cruz's career is a great example of how Caribbean sound acted as both a cultural artifact and a dynamic force in global music. With the use of acousmatic sound, schizophonia, and listening, her work shows how complex musical diffusion and cultural preservation can be. Cruz not only elevated Afro-Cuban music to a global platform, but also demonstrated how sound can overcome political and geographical constraints. Her legacy underscores the role of music in maintaining cultural identity and made sure that the rhythms and sounds of Caribbean were preserved. Celia Cruz's voice, powerful, joyful, and unrelenting, continues to ripple through time, reminding us that culture doesn't stand still. It evolves, adapts, and if we're listening closely, it teaches us and shapes the way we think moving forward. Thank you for joining me on Parle Awakma. I'm Nandini, and I'll be back soon with more stories of sounds from the past. Until then, Azúcar. Caballero, con permiso, yo voy a tumbar.